Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. It is Friday, June 10th. Last week, I asked, what do we do now? With the flowers in, the vegetables in, and school being out, the answer is watch the January 6th committee hearings on TV. Unfortunately, the people who need to watch them probably aren't, as the Fox Entertainment and Nazi propaganda channel isn't showing them. That's too bad, but not at all surprising. What's also not surprising is the role that pharmacy benefit managers are playing in the rising prices for prescription drugs. And that's what we're going to talk about on today's show. Specifically, we're going to talk about a new report from the University of Southern California connecting PBMs to higher prices for generic drugs, and the five commissioners of the Federal Trade Commission voting unanimously to launch an investigation into the business practices of PBMs. To tell us what this means for the future of PBMs and consumer drug prices are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Julie Murchison, partner at Transformation Capital. Hi, Dave. Hi, Julie. How are you guys doing this morning? Dave?
I just realized that Terry and I are leaving for the North Pole in a month, and we're nowhere near prepared, so I'm freaking out a little bit. We'll probably be buying insulated wading boots at a Bass Pro Shop this weekend somewhere.
Dave, I don't know if I've ever seen you in Bass Pro Shop, so maybe I'll see you in aisle four.
Insulated boots.
Insulated boots on the second floor. All right, Julie, how are you?
Well, you know, I have a teenage boy, so with the Dow falling and COVID rising and gun violence everywhere and the hearings starting up, it's really the Warriors and the Celtics that are dominating our world here.
Got it. Little sports will cure a lot of things. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, before we talk about PBMs and drug prices, let's talk about these January 6th committee hearings. Dave, are you watching them? And if so, what's your reaction so far?
I did watch last night's opening salvo and found it absolutely riveting. Not to be overly dramatic, but we're fighting for the soul of our democracy, and it's not clear how it's going to turn out. I was particularly impressed by Liz Cheney's opening presentation of the facts. She deserves a Profile in Courage Award for standing up to the Trumpian crazies in the Republican Party. Even though she herself is very conservative and her family is a legend in Wyoming, Cheney will probably lose her congressional seat in this fall's elections. Her Republican colleagues have already kicked her out of House leadership, and she spoke directly to them last night when she observed, quote, "There will come a day when President Trump is gone, but your dishonor will remain." However, history will treat Elizabeth Cheney very, very well.
No, couldn't agree more. Thanks, Dave. Julie, are you glued to CNN or C-SPAN, or do you have them on in the background? And what's your reaction so far?
Well, first to respond to Dave there, Cheney for president. I mean, woman's amazing. I did see a little bit last night, not the whole thing. And what I did see caused me to yell an expletive at the screen, which got me in trouble with my husband. So it's going to be a rough road.
Yeah. You got to get one of those money jars, right? Where when you swear, you put some money in it.
That's right.
It'll fill up pretty quick, I think.
Donate it to the Dems.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I did watch them last night, and I intend to watch the whole thing. The question is, what are we going to do to stop this from happening again? Because, you know, they're going to try it again. You can't turn your back on fascism. And apparently, you can't turn your back on PBMs either. This new report from the USC Schaefer Center said the three biggest PBMs, CVS Caremark, Express Scripts, and Optum Rx, control nearly 80% of the retail drug claims in the U.S., giving them, quote, significant pricing clout, close quote. Each of the three operate under the corporate umbrella of big health insurance companies, Aetna, Cigna, and United Health Group. That vertical integration contributes to, quote, opaque and inflated generic drug prices, close quote. And as a result, consumers are paying inflated prices for generic drugs, as much as 13 to 20% more than they should. The report made a number of policy recommendations to remedy the situation, including regulating PBM business practices or breaking up the PBM market through antitrust enforcement. So either more regulation or more competition as possible fixes. Dave, what are your big takeaways from the report? Do you think more regulation or more competition would work? And what would you do to fix the problem?
Add Humana to the big three there, and you've got well over 80% of the market controlled by these vertically integrated insurance, PBM, pharmacy companies. Guess what? Consumers overpay even more for branded drugs than generics, but that's a topic for another podcast. But before we get to solutions, I'm going to channel my best Gary Bisbee and do a bit of a history lesson on PBMs. Pharmacy benefit managers manage prescription drug benefit programs for health plans, large employers, unions, and governments. They came into existence in the 1960s to process claims for insurance companies as invisible middlemen. Always beware of the middlemen that hide between the patient's insurance companies, who now own the PBMs for the most part, and the pharmacies, which they also mostly own, who they reimburse for dispensing prescriptions. From claims processing, PBMs began to serve as fiscal intermediaries in the 1970s to adjudicate prescription drug claims. Today, PBMs not only adjudicate claims, but also develop and manage pharmacy networks, determine drug formularies, set copays, and set criteria for prior authorizations and the patient's choice of pharmacies. So many juicy places to take a slice. Reminds me of the Master of the House song from Les Mis. And for those of you who don't know that or have forgotten that, forgive my rendition here, but charge them for the lice, extra for the mice, 2% for looking in the mirror twice, here a little slice, there a little cut, 3% for sleeping with the window shut. When it comes to fixing prices, there are lots of tricks I knows. How it all increases, all them bits and pieces. Jesus, it's amazing how it grows. Again, apologies.
That was pretty well done, Dave.
Okay.
But that's great.
PBMs masquerade as cost savers, but are really cost multipliers. They profit at every stage of the supply chain, from the drug manufacturer to the patient purchasing the prescription at the pharmacy. They negotiate and keep manufacturer rebates in exchange for adding some drugs to formularies. PBMs keep the spread between how much they bill insurance plans and how much they reimburse pharmacies. So that spread, not surprisingly, goes ever higher. PBMs own their own retail and mail order pharmacies and then direct their members to purchase drugs from them. Even more evil, PBMs reimburse their own pharmacies more than other pharmacies, particularly small community and independent pharmacies. Those are actually really trying to serve their community residents. So true. Secret rebates, clawbacks, spread-based pricing, and anti-competitive price manipulation are the same tactics J.D. Rockefeller used in the 1800s to gain control of the oil industry by manipulating market dynamics between oil producers, railroads, and oil purchasers. So first and foremost, we need to recognize PBMs for the monopolists they are. And then, just like we did with the corporate trusts in the early 1900s, we need to force them to compete on a transparent and level field playing basis. The real question is whether we have the political will to do this on behalf of the American consumers or not.
I think a lot of people die in Les Mis too, right? There's another connection.
Don't steal a loaf of bread.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Julie, any comments or questions for Dave?
So, Dave, it seemed like the conclusions were really either breaking up the big three or regulation. So do you really think increased competition will drive lower costs, given everything you just talked about with what sounds like, I was going to use the M word for mafia, but maybe that's too strong. Or do you think we need regulation, really?
Well, I think we need both. We aren't going to get real pro-market level playing field competition without adequate regulation. So these big vertically integrated insurance companies with PBMs and pharmacies, CVS Aetna, Cigna, Scripts, United, Humana, simply control too much of the marketplace. And the result is the rampant inside baseball and overpricing that the USC Schaefer report documents. So Julie, to your question, antitrust is us. Let's break their stranglehold on the marketplace. You know, consumers deserve to be able to purchase cost-effective generic drugs. It's 90% of the drugs that we consume as a society. So that means creating the regulatory policies that require pharmacies to pass on the benefits of lowest cost generic pricing to consumers. And I don't think we can really do that without breaking up this unholy conglomerates of the big three or the big four, if you throw Humana in there. So it's not rocket science. We know how to do it. The real question is, as I said before, do we have the political will or not?
Got it, Dave. Thanks. More competition. I love it. Now let's talk about what the FTC did. The FTC commissioners voted 5-0, or nil, if you're into soccer, Dave, to investigate PBMs, which the FTC called the prescription drug middleman industry. Not very flattering. The FTC is going to collect information and records on the business practices of the six largest PBMs, CVS Caremark, Express Scripts, OptumRx, the three we mentioned earlier, Humana, Prime Therapeutics, and MedImpact Healthcare Systems. The practices that the FTC is going to look into include steering patients to PBM-owned pharmacies, charging fees to unaffiliated pharmacies, and hiding behind complicated and opaque methods to pay pharmacy claims. There's that word opaque again. Julie, what's your reaction to the FTC's actions? Do you think something will come out of it? And is there anything the marketplace can do to neutralize the power of these PBMs?
Well, our friend Jan Berger, who ironically was once the head clinician for CVS Caremark, has her book about reengaging in trust. And when it comes to PBMs, trust has left the building, that's for sure. Because Dave, as you say, while they were introduced to manage the cost of prescription drugs, they've turned into a major stakeholder that can really manipulate pricing and push drugs to their advantage. So I'm thrilled to see what the FTC is doing. I worry that the devil's in the details around the way in which PBMs can do what they do. So the FTC has a bunch of smart people and can hire in a bunch of experts. So let's hope they find things. You know, there's a number of problems with the practices. And some of the opaqueness comes from really simple things like the lists that PBMs use to set prices. They usually use what's called an average wholesale price list or a maximum allowance cost price list. And first of all, the prices on these lists aren't entirely based in reality. They can be some percentage of true prices, and the prices can be manipulated in the list. So there are other lists that can be reference lists. There's one called the NADAC, N-A-D-A-C, which is much more based in reality. So you'd have to understand that to really determine whether their practices of using those lists are causing or driving the opaqueness or are, you know, unethical or inappropriate. You know, also PBMs can maximize utilization of expensive drugs. They have complete control in mail order situations and specialty pharmacies, and they can direct more sales towards the drugs that would bring them more profit rather than choosing the drug that'd be more beneficial to the patient. So for those who are negotiating with PBMs, making sure that that PBM doesn't own conflicted assets, you know, is an important thing. What I worry most about, Dave, is that PBMs can direct people towards high-cost rebate products. And these rebate products are what make pharmaceutical companies a lot of money, potentially, right? So if the PBM retains a portion of the rebates or other pharma revenue streams, they have a financial incentive to steer members towards those products as well. So there's a whole lot of, you know, pockets being lined, as you identified. So the market can work with PBMs that don't retain pharma revenue or force, you know, transparency around some of those things. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And there are issues with all sorts of things around the level of accountability that PBMs take in these contracts. And for the FTC to really succeed, like I said before, they have to really dig into what these practices mean and frankly, what the alternatives are. I think they'll find, you know, some fairly inappropriate practices, but like Dave, I don't know if it will be enough to reorganize the PBM landscape, but I'm excited.
Got it. Thanks, Julie. Yeah, you really could teach an entire class on how drug prices are set. It's that complicated. Dave, any comments or questions for Julie?
Well, Julie, you're definitely onto the rebate madness going on, you know, extra for the mice and lice, just the way they kind of get in there between the transactions and take a slice. And, you know, if buyers are better and smarter, they'll figure out how to use PBMs that aren't motivated that way. In 2011, Mark Andreessen of Andreessen Horowitz fame wrote a widely acclaimed article, Why Software is Eating the World. I'm sure you've heard of that, right? I mean, it consumes everything they focus on. Then at last year's health conference, Glenn Tolman of Transcarent and Livongo fame took the analogy one step further and said, quote, great software eats the middle. And by that, he meant intermediaries like, you know, for example, PBMs. So here's my question. To what extent can great software eat away PBMs, healthcare's ultimate intermediaries, by forcing transparency and more level field competition? Inquiring minds and American consumers need to know.
Well, that was a tee up for me, that's for sure. You know, in full transparency, we work with a company called Capital Rx, which has created greater transparency in prescription drug pricing with its PBM, you know, literally obliterating drug price volatility. And they're started by a bunch of PBM guys who understand what goes on in the business and who decided to take the high road and build a different way of doing it. And they started by building a technology that is based on a different set of pricing, creates complete transparency, and can undercut traditional PBM costs in a significant way, and using the power of technology to do so. And I have to say, whether it's Capital Rx or some of these new innovative solutions, there's the process of the human decision-making and manipulation and very old technology. And again, like PBMs have been around long enough, just like health plans, where the technology is archaic. So new technology can go a long way. And we do think cut a tremendous amount of the fat of humans involved and rebate negotiation and all that out. So there's a ton of potential. And, you know, you're seeing some of those big six, I won't say the big three, starting to really resonate with how they upgrade their systems and take on some of this. And for them, it's definitely a business problem. It's not a technology problem.
Thanks, Julie. That's great. I agree. Healthcare is full of middlemen who claim to save the system money, but really are adding costs as they siphon off money for themselves and their shareholders. I'd call that an illegal skimming operation, but I'm just a journalist, not a prosecutor. We'll see. Now let's briefly talk about other news that happened this past week. Julie, what else happened that's worth noting for our listeners?
Well, speaking of prescription drugs, you probably have seen that Tom Skelton is stepping down as the CEO of Surescripts. And this week, it was announced that Frank Harvey is stepping in as the new CEO of Surescripts. So a new chapter for that organization.
Interesting. Thanks, Julie. Dave, what else happened this week that caught your attention that's worth mentioning?
Well, also speaking of big lumbering organizations that waste societal resources, our buddy Zeke Emanuel had an article in Atlantic Magazine this week that takes the $42 billion a year National Institutes of Health to task for its, quote, sclerotic and cautious, close quote, responsiveness to public health threats. I'm sure there will be a lot more to come on this front.
Going after the NIH. Interesting. Thanks, Dave, and thank you, Julie. That is all the time we have for today. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed on today's show, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. If you follow our show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite streaming service, you'll get notified each time a new episode is available. Don't forget to tell a friend about Foresight Friday Roundup. Subscribe now and don't miss another segment of the best 20 minutes in healthcare. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Burda for Foresight Health.